His father's eyes widened with surprise and understanding as he stared at Wells. "That's what you wanted, isn't it?" Wells nodded. The Chancellor grimaced. "Had I known you were this desperate to see Earth, I could have easily arranged for you to join the second expedition, once we determined it was safe. I didn't want to wait. I want to go with the first 100. The Chancellor narrowed his eyes slightly as he assessed Wells's impassive face. "Why? You of all people know the risks." "With all due respect, you're the one who convinced the Council that nuclear winter was over. You said it was safe." "Yes, safe enough for the 100 convicted criminals who were going to die anyway," the Chancellor said, his voice a mix of condescension and disbelief. "I didn't mean safe for my son." The anger Wells had been trying to smother flared up, reducing his guilt to ashes. He shook his hands so the cuffs rattled against the chair. "I guess I'm one of them now." "Your mother wouldn't want you to do this, Wells. Just because she enjoyed dreaming about Earth doesn't mean she'd want you to put yourself in harm's way." Wells leaned forward, ignoring the bite of the metal digging into his flesh. "She's not who I'm doing this for," he said, looking his father straight in the eye for the first time since he'd sat down. "Though I do think she'd be proud of me." It was partially true. She'd had a romantic streak and would have commended her son's desire to protect the girl he loved. But his stomach writhed at the thought of his mom knowing what he'd really done to save Clark. The truth would make setting the Eden tree on fire seem like a harmless prank. His father stared at him. "Are you telling me this whole debacle is because of that girl?" Wells nodded slowly. "It's my fault she's being sent down there like some lab rat. I'm going to make sure she has the best chance of making it out alive." The Chancellor was silent for a moment, but when he spoke again, his voice was calm. "That won't be necessary." The Chancellor removed something from his desk drawer and placed it in front of Wells. It was a metal ring affixed with a chip about the size of Wells's thumb. "Every member of the expedition is currently being fitted with one of these bracelets," his father explained. "They'll send data back up to the ship so we can track your location and monitor your vitals. As soon as we have proof that the environment is hospitable, we'll begin recolonization." He forced a grim smile. "If everything goes according to plan, it won't be long before the rest of us come down to join you. And all this," he gestured toward Wells's bound hands, "will be forgotten." The door opened, and a guard stepped over the threshold.
"It's time, sir."
The Chancellor nodded, and the guard strode across the room to pull Wells to his feet.
"Good luck, son,"
Wells's father said, assuming his trademark brusqueness.
"If anyone can make this mission a success, it's you."
He extended his arm to shake Wells's hand, but then let it fall to his side when he realized his mistake. His only child's arms were still shackled behind him.